whatever, alluding to that. Anyway, because I can't remember exactly what he said, but I know that he said it. So then Moses' sister Miriam, then leads the women of Israel to break out in song with their tambourines. And let's go to Exodus 15, 21, and we'll read just some of the words of the song here. And Miriam answered them and said, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." And so she's reiterating some of the greatness of God and everything, and how great he is to kill the enemies, and the horses and the riders, when the sea comes over them. And so I think, this is just me, I think the understanding of God is an important doctrine for us. It's one of the pieces of doctrine for each and every person as a believer this morning, that we should know who God really is and how powerful and awesome and unique and unequaled he is. He is unequaled. It's true that we can only say that our understanding is limited of God. You know, God can show us all these different things, who he is and what he is, and we could read from Moses and the prophets, and even Yeshua speaks of the Father, how wonderful God is. We know that, but the reality is that these things, our understanding is really limited at this point of our lives. But that is because he is limitless. So no matter how much we think we know about God, we only know a small amount of God, because God is limitless. We say he's unique, he's unequaled, he's powerful, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing. We say that, but I don't think we even have an understanding how really great and limitless and unequaled he really is. We don't know that. And maybe when we get to meet him face to face, so to speak, when we meet him, when Yeshua returns, and when we get into to God's kingdom, maybe we'll know God in his entirety. And maybe we may not know all of God is in his entirety, but the reality is he is limitless. And it's only that small bit that we know about him right now. Maybe that he wants us to know about him, maybe that for whatever reason, but it is a small amount that we really know of him. But that small, limited amount that we know about him is quite a bit. And it should be enough to sustain us and keep us going and to keep our faith up and to know that God is there and he's working in our lives each and every day, and that there's nothing that he can't do for each and every one of us. And he can do these things. And he can supply all of our needs right now. And so that little bit that we know of him should be sufficient for us to know that he can supply all of our needs right now, to know that he can work in our lives right now, to know that he can work in the enemies around us right now. God is unequaled. God is unique. And so this is why we see this every once in a while in the scriptures, in God's word, because this is one of the important things. Like I said, it's sort of a very important part of the whole doctrinal understanding of who God is. There is no one like him. So when we say, "There is none like you above the gods," we need to understand it's not that he's just above the gods. He's above the gods. I mean, the gods, no matter what man thinks of the gods and the goddesses and the gods of today, and what, you know, what a lot of people that are into New Age things and into all these religions around the world, Buddhism and Hinduism and all these things, they don't have a clue that the living God is light years above all of those gods and goddesses. Not just that he's a little above them, a head above them, but he is way above them. And we should understand that for our lives, to really understand how powerful God really is. And that wonderful thing is that he is our God. He's our God, and he's the one that loves us. So man does attempt to duplicate God, both spiritually and physically. And we can see that around us with all of the alternate religions out there, no matter how good or bad they seem to be, they're not really the religion of the living God. And so man has tried to duplicate God and who he is spiritually. When people get into the New Age stuff and they start worshiping the sun and the moon and the rocks and the stars, and they say everything and we're all God and everything is God, when they look at all these things, what they're doing is they're trying to create a alternative, a fake God or gods in their lives. And so they attempt to duplicate God, but they can't come close to duplicating God. And that's spiritually. And physically, man today is trying to duplicate God physically. We try to clone. Even cloning isn't what God does. But we try to do these things. We try to create things sort of like God creates things. We try to do things. We try to create things. We try to mold things and shape things the way God does it. We try to change the things that God created to what we think will be better than what God created it to be. You know, that's why it's a big thing today with GMOs and genetic switching and fooling around with people's DNA and genetic. Why? Because, well, God didn't make it as good as we can make it. And so they're attempting to duplicate God on a physical level. So we had this going on, the physical level and the spiritual level. Man is trying to duplicate God, or sometimes to do God one better. But they can't do it. They'll never do it. You know, it's the joke. And I know a couple of years ago, the scientists, you know, they came up and they were excited because they said, we took some dirt and we put it into a chamber and we exposed it to this and that and x-rays, and we took all the dirt and we exposed it, and lo and behold, there was living organisms that were created from the dirt. And then a voice from heaven said to them, but just remember who created the dirt. See, no matter how much you try to do that, you need some kind of substance, and that substance was created by God himself. So what they're doing is taking a second or third step up and trying to do things, but it just doesn't work. You can't duplicate or certainly duplicate or try to do better than God, because there is no one else like God above all the gods and goddesses and scientists and engineers and wonderful thinkers today. There is no one like God. Amen. And so God, he is all present. God is all knowing. He is glorious in holiness, as we read. He is glorious in holiness. It is God, and God is the angel of the Lord. And God is the Messiah pre-incarnate. And God is Messiah Yeshua after he came in the flesh. That is the part of God that we can see. The angel of the Lord, who is God, the Messiah, before he came in the flesh. Messiah himself. That is the part of God that we can see. That's the part of God that had form. That's the part of God that walked among us. So in Scripture, God describes himself with human components. They're used as symbolism. They're used to describe God, but not to describe him physically. They're used to describe who God is and what he wants to do with us and what he could do with us. But it's for our understanding of him. So the fancy schmancy word is anthropomorphism. And anthropomorphism is broken into Latin. It's anthro man, and morphism is form. And so we see components, we read about God, and he describes himself in components of human parts. But he does it for our sake. So I'm just going to use a couple of examples here. One from Exodus 7:5, Numbers 6:24, and Isaiah 23:11. We know them all, but I'm just going to throw them up there. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand in Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. It's symbolism. He's stretching out his hand. He's doing something for his children. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you is the next point. Make his face that we read every week. It's just make his face shine upon you. And the next, Isaiah, he stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against Canaan to destroy his stronghold. Just a couple of examples. The face of God, the hand of God. We read about the arm of God, his mighty arm. We read about these things. But it's just symbolism. And the reason is because Yeshua said, let's go to John 4:24, and sometimes we have a little problem with that. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. What does that mean? God is spirit, and we worship in spirit. Because the reality is, you know, it's the Father. I believe that the Father is We can't see him. Think about it. When we see God, when anyone saw God, when any of the people in the Bible saw God, they were not seeing God the Father. They were seeing God, the angel of the Lord, or later on they saw Messiah walking around amongst us. But God the Father is, we can't see him. So in our terms, he doesn't have a face and arms and hands the way we would think of. And so Yeshua said, God is spirit, and so we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't see. So when it says, and this is one of the things I know a lot of time the traditional rabbis have a hard time, especially with our beliefs, they say, well, you can't see God and live. It's you can't see the Father and live. And we can't see the Father. He doesn't reveal his form and himself to us. But he has revealed, God has revealed his part of his oneness in the angel of the Lord, which was Yeshua, and Messiah, Yeshua, which was Yeshua. And so that's why Yeshua said that. It's that essence, it's that substance of God that is immense. It's beyond our understanding. That is why God is unique and there's none like him among all the gods and goddesses, little g gods and goddesses. God is holy. God is kadosh. He is separate. He is unequal. When Isaiah was called to be a prophet to his people, he was brought up to the throne of God. And he saw the angels worshiping God. And we read Isaiah's words, Isaiah 6:4, as he sees the angels, the seraphim, worshiping God. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Do we have another? No. And this is what it says that the angels sang. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. And it's interesting because we see this so often where there's things are repeated three times. Why is it? What were they singing? Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. I can't say, so saith the Lord. I can't say it's definite, but I believe the angels were singing holy to the Father. They were singing holy to the Mashiach. They were singing holy to the Ruach. They were singing because God in his oneness and his completeness was there. And they were singing kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. They were singing that all of God in his components of Father and Son and Spirit are all holy. And so this is why I believe they were singing. And this is why I believe so many times we see things repeated three times in that way. So God wanted Israel to know, and he wants us, each and every one of us, to know that no matter how unstoppable our enemies are, no matter how unstoppable the bullies may be out there, and it's not just bullies in school today with kids, it could be bullies at work. It could be bullies just that are your neighbors could be bullies to you. So there are plenty of bullies out there. And there are raging nations out there. And we look and go, oh my God, how are we going to stop these people? What are we going to do to stop them? Sometimes the answer is there's nothing we can do to stop them. They just do what they do. And we can't, no matter how much we try, we can't stop them. But the only thing is the fact that God is unstoppable, and it's God that can stop the bullies, the evil people, the raging nations. So for us, yes, sometimes we have to take, we take physical action, we do. But the most important thing that we can do behind the physical action is to pray up a storm that God, the unstoppable God, is going to stop those people and nations and situations. And so above all, even if sometimes we do have to take some physical action, behind it should be powerful prayer that God is going to, the unstoppable God is going to be in action. And that's really what we need to do. His word tells us that nations crumble. His word tells us that empires eventually fall. His word tells us that we, it says, like grass withers. His word says the flowers will fall or fade. Let's look at Isaiah 40 and 8. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Our days are numbered. We're not all going to be here. Hopefully, the Lord's going to return before my last breath. Woohoo. Someone else can say that, Bruce. No, anyone can say it but you. But we know that possessions rust and they crumble. Empires and nations, they fade away and they crumble. But God is forever. The reign of God is forever. He is unceasing, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. These are the things we need to constantly be aware of and keep it in our hearts and remember as often as we can. God is the only one who has the final way. And I can tell you, he's going to have his final way. And amen, he will have his final way. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the creator of all things. Some people argue, is it God the Father? Was it the Messiah? We see scriptures that say it was the Messiah that was actually the creator of all things. So whatever you think, it's God. It was God. And we know that God created. So he is unequaled in power and wisdom and ability and greatness. And here is the best part of all this stuff that I said, and I know I repeated myself time and time again, how great and how wonderful and how unique and unequal. But here's the best part. He cares about you and he cares about me. That's the best part. That God cares about you and he cares about me. I mean, he really does care for us and he loves us. And even when we fail and we stumble and sometimes we fall, as we sang before, he cares about us and he loves us. He's long-suffering because we are his and he is ours. We are, all of us, his people, and he is our God. And so he cares about us and he wants to do great and wonderful things in us and through each and every one of us. And I know sometimes people say, no, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too great. He wants to do great things in us and through us. And when we see God doing something through us, it really does build our faith and it makes us feel even closer to God. So that's my word this morning for us. Let's just end in a word of prayer this morning. We praise you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for showing us who you really are. Although we say we know, we just need to hear those words so time and time again, because we're in the world every day. So it's great if we hear your word a lot to counter what's going on in our lives every day and what's going on around us. So thank you, Lord, for reminding us who you are and thanking us, Lord, what you can do through us and what you will do and can do in each and every one of us. And so we thank you, and Lord, I ask, don't stop. Continue speaking to us, whether it's when we pray, if it's through the word, if it's through the songs that we sing. Continue doing it, Lord. Continue getting a real good dose of who you are each and every day. And so we thank you, Father. You are the unlimitless God. You are the God that will never stop. And you are the God that loves us dearly. We thank you. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.